Hello and welcome to MedTalks, conversations by medical students for medical students. So for the avid listener, this may sound strange while I'm starting this podcast, and Debbie and I decided...
We decided we'd switch it up for the last episode of the year.
Exactly, and today we're going to speak about, well, this year, to be honest, and we're going to look back a bit, experiences about COVID, about lockdown, and everything in between, and how it affected our year, what we've learned, and I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, and what we'll be taking forward for sure. I think for every single person, this year has kind of been like something out of a storybook. So yeah, let's jump right into it.
It's been like a box of chocolates.
And it you never know what you're going to get.
And it definitely wasn't a chocolate that came out of the box. But
no, it was pretty awful, but whatever.
Life does throw curveballs every now and again, and can't change how you act, but rather how you, or can't change how life acts, but rather how you react. So,
dropping us with that wisdom. Okay, so I think this is, the questions that we're going to go through. It's kind of it's reflective stuff. It's important stuff. But, Joey, what would you say you've learned besides medicine this year? What have you learned about yourself this year?
Well, firstly, to start off, I think I've learned a lot more about things non-medicine related than medicine this year.
Unfortunately.
It's not been a very medicine-esque or related year almost.
Yeah.
For the listeners who don't know, we were supposed to start with SIC, which is a practical component that we finish our studies with, and that was cancelled. So our whole SIC is going to have to be caught up in our final year, and everything was moved online like most people. So
we have so much to look forward to. I'm so excited. Can you tell?
But some things that I've learned this year is that time spent with family is always valuable and should be cherished. Exercise helps keep you sane when you're stuck in one between four walls. And that there's not enough series you can watch.
It doesn't exist.
I've also learned to be kind to myself this year. That's something that I've really tried to implement this year. So emotionally, that's what I set out almost with, not a New Year's resolution, but a theme to my year of kindness. Because setting a resolution, I actually watched a cool New Year's resolution video right on New Year's Eve, or before, of course, that the festivities started. And this video spoke about setting a theme. Not a resolution for your year. Whereas a resolution is you need to determine X in Y time. A theme is, with every decision, how about I take this theme and try apply it?
So it's actually more powerful.
Exactly. It's like taking a directional change instead of trying to get straight to the target by, I'm going to exercise here, there, I need to lose weight by then. But rather making a health theme.
I dig it.
You know, eating healthily where you can, making the decision, deciding to exercise here instead of chilling and all of that. So,
and it's in those little moments. It's in those, like, I find, for me, my year has been quite a blur, like, looking back on it, because of the fact that we've been home basically since March. And it's those little decisions that you make that define your life at the end of the day. So
exactly.
I back it. But... yeah.
What have you learned, actually? Yes.
Have I learned this year?
Besides medicine, besides trauma, anesthesiology, you know, pharmacology, we've done all of that.
I mean, to say if I learned anything from there would be a lie. No, I must admit, it was a hard year, definitely mental health-wise. But also, I think I learned to definitely be kind to myself and to celebrate the small victories. I think that was something that really kept me going. I was devastated when we were told that SIC was cancelled because I'm a very busy person. I have to be doing, like, lots of things. I can't just be sitting in, you know, one place and seeing the same people all the time. So I really struggled with that. It was really just about setting these little goals every day for myself and just achieving those, basically. That's kind of what it was all about. And I really tried to branch out and grow myself in different aspects and different directions, which I'm grateful for. And I'm grateful for the time that I had. I'm grateful for the time that I had with my family. Personally, it was a pretty great experience, but it was still difficult. It was very unnatural.
Definitely. With the lack of social contact.
Yeah, I'm not seeing my friends. I mean,
it got a bit too much at a stage, almost, of like, yeah. it was fun initially, but there was lots of ups and downs, you know.
I think when we had clarity finally, because we spent like 3 months up and down, we didn't know what was happening. Yeah. And I think that was very uneasy. We couldn't, you know, you didn't know what to plan for.
That's true.
And I think that was a very anxious time for me. And then when they finally made the call that, no, we're basically cancelling your year, it was a relief, but it was also really sad.
It was a sad relief. I know what
you
mean.
Yeah, and it was
like giving, kind of getting closure, but the closure is that, you know, someone has died. Yeah. It's like that type of news.
Yeah, literally. And I think it just, when you're at the stage that we're at, where now we've been studying for 5 years, I don't know about you, but I'm tired, you know. I'm really tired of studying.
It's
and
really great being a student, but it's also shit.
Like, let's be real. You know, I mean, all of our friends from school have jobs, and they're, like, very independent, and they're doing their thing. And don't get me wrong, I'm definitely so grateful for the fact that I get to be a doctor, or I'm going to be a doctor, but it's also, I'm definitely tired. And I think also to know that next year is going to be one hell of a year, I think it's a bit daunting and it's overwhelming, and not something that we're really trying to think about right now, but regardless, I know we'll be fine at the end of the day.
It's true. And I'm definitely ready to earn a salary. Yeah. I think an incentive to work at the end of the day makes everything easier.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
But you spoke about the uneasiness that you were feeling, and I think a lot of people this year felt that uneasiness with what's going to happen next, what is going to happen with my job, my degree, my studies, my, you know, my parents' job, or my friend's job, and if you're going to lose this. So I think this year has taught a lot of people to take it one day at a time.
Yeah. You know, I think we were so out of control, and I think for many of us that have like very severe anxiety about being in control, that must have been like a huge hit. Mm. Yeah. For so many people. So I completely relate and I understand. And I think it was such a personal growth year for me. Mm. And I'm sure it must be like that for many people, because I really think it put us out of our comfort zones.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Looking back, it's definitely been one of the most fun years of my life.
I'm so happy to hear. Good for you.
I mean, all the free time, you're never afforded that as a normal student.
No, for sure. And I think with you also having the opportunity to, I think you stayed in your commune most of the year. So it's like you're around your mates. So that's like a nice, refreshing opportunity to get. It's like living with friends, like being on holiday with friends.
Exactly. It's once I'd saturated myself at home and my family was tired of me and I was tired of them, I was like, okay guys, bye. It's been great, but I'm off.
Yeah.
I'll come visit every now and again. Don't worry, I'll sanitize, make sure I'm not having any symptoms.
We'll be good. No, so I think that's a brilliant thing to hear, and it actually makes me so happy when people are like, oh, that was actually, I had a good time, because I'm so almost sick of hearing sad stories. I know that sounds maybe just a bit...
No, but we need positive in our life as well. I mean, there's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of...
So I'm more than happy to celebrate your happiness with you, Joey.
I think a major challenge all of us faced this year was also the fear of spreading COVID. For example, me when I was at my commune, and then I would go home and my parents would say... And then I'd be like, well, is that a good idea? Is this responsible, Joey? And I was like, no, it's not.
But I need food.
But my money is running kind of low. Yeah.
No, I must admit, it was so difficult. I had a few COVID scares myself. And it was very difficult to... I live at home, so to self-isolate in my home was a mess.
Virtually impossible.
It was horrible. It was really horrible. So I'm very happy that I was negative. All the times that I've tested so far.
What was the longest time you did isolate at home?
I think like a week. And it was so hard.
A whole week?
A whole week. And
so how did you get your food? Did you use the kitchen?
I used the kitchen, but I had to... No one could be in the kitchen. I had to wear gloves and a mask, and I had to clean. I had a certain... Like, I had my own cutlery, and I had my own space, and no one was allowed to go into that. And everything I touched, like, I literally walked around with, like, alcohol basically, and had to sanitize everything. So it was just really tiring to remember, like, oh, I touched this, I have to clean this, and I did that. So that was very, very hard. And I think it was also just difficult to be alone, you know, just like a complete
week.
Yeah,
mentally, actually.
Yeah, to myself. Like, I couldn't see anyone. I couldn't really, I could speak to my, you know, family through the window. But
that's not the same, yeah. I mean, they're going to have to come to your window, first of all. And then it's kind of like, they're probably awkwardly standing there.
Yeah, so it's not a great conversation.
Yeah,
it's not a great situation.
How are you feeling, Debbie? No, I think I'm okay. I'm a bit sick.
My throat is sore. Maybe I have COVID. I think that's the one other thing that I really also, my brain ran with me.
True.
Yeah, I think we really, you kind of, once you come into, you know, contact with a COVID positive person, or you find out that you've been in contact with them, then you start imagining all these symptoms.
And I mean, as medical students, we're already all hypochondriacs.
Literally.
So it's just like, boom, we were in contact. I've got it. I get somatic symptom onset.
The first time I tested, I had a fever, and I was, my fever was like 38.5. And I was coughing, and so when I went to go, when they screened my temperature, I was like, that's it, I have it. I'm like, it's over, it's done. And thankfully, our university, I think they handled it quite well. And I felt, I mean, I had so many of the doctors from the different departments, like, messaging me and making sure I was fine, and I really appreciated that. But when I told them I had a fever, they were like, that's it for you. it's done. You're over. Mm. And that's another thing, the COVID stigma. Like,
yeah, I was actually just thinking about that when you said that. Oh, you're done, like, you've had it.
Yeah.
The stigma is real, people. The stigma is real.
And you don't want to be the one to, like, give it to someone, hey, because they're going to resent you for it. But I must admit, yeah, I've had very close, very, very close calls. And every time it was, like, a wake-up call for me. And I think maybe I didn't respond because I was like, oh, I keep getting away with this. But, I mean, now it's kind of just become a part of life. And it's just something that I've just kind of had to come to accept that if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if I have already had it and I just was asymptomatic. I mean, I'm hoping.
The super spreader, eh? Who would have known?
Well, time will tell. I think that was a... And, I mean, waiting for your test, also, that's a nerve-wracking experience.
Oh,
especially
definitely.
In the height of it. I mean, when it first, we were busy with, I think, family medicine. And I got into contact with, like, a couple of, I think, positive patients. And that was just, everyone went into a bit of a frenzy. Because it was like, we were the first people in our class testing. And we were the first people, like, coming up with positives. So I think that was, like, a big wake-up call that, like, oh, it's, like, it's hit home.
There was a whole almost, like, not uproar about it, but the stigma at that time was, like, you've got, like, did you hear this person tested positive?
Yes.
It was, like, insane, mind-blowing, like, whoa, this is reaching us. It's hitting so much closer to home.
Yeah, it's not just, like, friends.
Cases are rising, and you're like, well, it's fine. I haven't really heard of it.
No,
like,
now
it's
like right on my doorstep.
Everyone probably like, yeah, it's probably in our informal settlements. You know, it won't re. It's like, which is actually very ignorant thinking at the end of the day.
Extremely ignorant, and then it happens to you.
But
and then,
like this, COVID has taught us some lessons at least.
Yeah,
it's caused the pandemic, true, but like at the end of the day. It's taught some valuable life.
Maybe we all, maybe, I don't know, like whoever your God is was looking down on us and be like, these people really need to deal with their issues throughout the pandemic. I hope that's not the case.
Quickly speaking about, let me speak about being a bit irresponsible during lockdown. We had a braai at our commune, which we invited one extra person, and this extra person ended up telling us the next day that his father had tested positive for COVID. And now we were obviously in close contact with this person. And the next day I had also gone home. Now we hear this news and I'm like, what did I touch? I strapped my gloves on, put my mask on. I'm like, Mom, Dad, don't touch anything.
Have to clean.
Spray bottle, cloth, alcohol throughout the house. I think that house has not been as spotless.
I'm sure your parents are almost grateful.
But no, that ended up luckily being negative.
Thank goodness.
Unlike another test I had.
Oh, yes. Yes, please do share.
So I am COVID immune, or whichever strain I did have.
COVID survivor.
COVID survivor. I did have the corona. So how this happened is about a month ago, a few of the guys in the commune were a bit tired of just being locked in, not yeah. locked in, but being boxed in and all the...
Just seeing your faces every day, yeah, I get that.
And all the bars that opened again and pretty much. And if that's not almost a cesspool of infection,
yeah.
Smoking hubblies and sharing hubblies or yeah. like places like Aunt Class and Oof. The Strip. And
sounds like a lot of fun.
Bit of a lawless place. Anyway, yeah. and a friend of mine ended up getting sick and we just thought, you know, he's been going out a lot. He's probably just been a bit immunocompromised because of lack of sleep and lots of yeah. alcohol. We didn't think too much about it. Went on holiday down to the ocean, just us commune, mm-hmm. commune boys, so we weren't seeing anyone.
Yeah, Joey had some wonderful holidays.
When life gives you lemons, make some lemonade. Travel down to the ocean, make some lemonade.
Yeah.
But in any case, we didn't think too much about it. And looking back, it was all the classic symptoms. He was coughing, he had a fever.
Oh, wow.
Sore throat, dry sinus.
And you'd think as like a whole bunch of medical students, you'd be like, it's the corona.
Yeah, and literally, and it was just, it kind of got to a point where we're so saturated with corona, with COVID, the C word, that you kind of like, you don't want to think about it.
Yeah, like, I've put it out your mind.
I've been sick many times since COVID, been yeah. tested, and they all come back negative. So you yeah. later just come to a point like, you know what, he's probably just sick. And then we get back to Pretoria, whatever, and I see my girlfriend. And 2-3 days later, she's sick. She's got fever.
Oh,
she's coughing. I'm thinking, like, you know
where
what?
Where were you, girl?
And I was thinking, like, just as I also got back to Pretoria, I had a fever one night. Wasn't feeling too great. I'm like, you know what? Why have we not considered COVID? We joked about it once, Temba and I,
mm-hmm.
or my close friend Temba. And we're like, yeah, no, it's probably the corona. And ever since then, it's like planted a seed in my mind of, like,
oh,
of
damn.
Doubt.
Oh, damn.
Like, you know what? It probably is. Now, my girlfriend had to do her preceptorship, which means mm-hmm. she had to go shadow at a GP for a few days. And I told her it would probably be best if you get tested, because just now we've all had it, and now we've given it to you, or I've given it to you, and you go to a GP practice
and you just
as a
like
positive patient.
Brave for COVID.
Exactly. And so she ended up going to get tested, and she was obviously very nervous, didn't want to miss her preceptorship. The next day, she sees her results are out, but she's too scared to see the results. She's like, please just tell me what it is. I open, I look, and I see that positive word. I'm like, finally a positive. I was supposed to be upset, sad. I was low-key like, you know what? That means I've had it. She's got it. But then the next thing was dealing with the consequences of it.
Oh, yeah.
Telling people we'd have been in contact with inadvertently.
Almost as daunting as having it.
Literally, contact tracing in a way like, listen guys, I've had corona. We've all had corona basically in the commune because it all moved through us. We were all sick. We just thought that we were a bit hungover, to be honest. We just
thought rough week.
It was literally a long, rough week. We tried to stay active there. We went jogging and everything. And a few times, like, we just struggled more than we should have. And we just thought we attributed it to the, you know,
yeah.
To the partying, yeah. and all the time. And looking back, it all made so much sense. Like, wow, there we were. sick with COVID.
Group of medical students that didn't even know it.
But it wouldn't have been a pandemic, I mean, if you didn't get it. So I'm
yeah.
happy I got it, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
I only spread it as far as I know to my girlfriend. Didn't go home or anything, so
at
also
least.
Glad it didn't
And what were your
it,
symptoms like? Well, I'm guessing not that bad if you could go for a jog.
Yeah, surprisingly not that bad. Initially, it starts with just a bit of malaise and a feeling of unwellness and uneasiness.
Okay.
Like, you're just not feeling 100%, like, you're suboptimally functioning. Ended up having quite a bit of fever one night. Woke up and I was, like, wet with sweat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was sleeping with a sheet. I mean, I had my fan
yeah.
on. Then I never had any cold fever, only a warm fever. And then my sinuses dried up. It was not like I had a runny nose. It was just like, they were dry and they were burning.
Oh, wow.
And then my smell went, and, like, I could still smell, but, like, let's say, like, a mint leaf. I had to, like, crush it, put it up
sure.
to my nose, and sniff, like I'm sniffing something, you know, through, like, a straw or something.
Oh, my word.
And then I could only smell. My taste, I don't know if it was also diminished, but I guess it would be diminished if
yeah.
my smell was also that diminished. And then afterwards, just very much fatigued. There was a long time I just wanted to, like, I just wasn't, even if I try to train or if I try to study, I would just fall asleep.
Yeah.
I would just be like, oh.
You can't do this.
Mm. And then for a while afterwards, they say, the studies have shown that you're immunosuppressed as well.
Oh.
So, yeah, I was trying to just be in this, which has been this recent period. Like, I've got eczema, so my eczema flared up.
Oh, heck.
I've also got asthma, so I've technically got the comorbidity that you should be worried about.
And you were just like, chilled, I'll go for a jog.
I've been jogging once since knowing I've been COVID positive, which was yesterday morning.
And how did that go?
I see what they mean about post-COVID fibrosis. 100% my lung function feels a bit
impaired.
That's
crazy,
but it's not like it. I feel like with a few more jogs, I'm also just unfit.
Yeah.
Also taking that cortisone pump. I mean, that thing just anti-inflammatory all the way.
Thank goodness.
So, yeah, but that was my COVID experience.
Sure. So, at least, I mean, it's a blessing that it wasn't as tragic as it obviously has been for many people. But I think it's like that's the thing. Most of my mates as well, thank goodness, have had it really easy. Pretty much the same, just tired with like no sense of smell. So if it comes my way, I'm hoping for that too. So what would you say are some of the positives that came out of lockdown for you amidst the great holidays?
Yeah, well, literally off the bat, it would be all the off time.
Yeah.
And just time to yourself, time to almost recuperate. You don't realize what a rat race you're in till life stops.
Yeah.
when I'm you sure kind you of can just attribute that to
slow down and just, you know, take a breath for a second and be like, wow, okay. I mean, those first 3 months that we started with the year was, I found it quite hectic. And then I just remember we were doing, I think it was psychiatry at the time.
Mm.
And we
remember we had to do those patient presentations.
Yeah.
And I wasn't finished seeing my patient. I promised him I'd bring him a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, what a nice student.
He was the nicest patient.
We're so good to our patients, don't you see?
He's a psych patient, not a respiratory patient.
Don't worry, guys. No, I just remember we were sitting in the, there's a big auditorium at Westcorp East, and my one friend came in and her sister is studying medicine at Wits, and she was like, no, they've cancelled all their classes. And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, are you serious? Like, why are they cancelling classes? This is insane. And it didn't hit me how bad this actually was. Like, I did not anticipate what this would be, you know, looking back.
It was
back,
for real at that
yes,
time, eh?
And, literally the next day, we also got messages to say, don't come in, you know. And it was just like, as I said, constantly for 3 months, we just had no idea what was happening. And they were just like, we're not going back. We might go back. We're never going to go back. We don't know. So, and I must say, once again, our university did quite well. The fact that they were able to take everything online in the space of like a month.
That's true. That
was
actually
incredible.
Deserves quite a lot of credit.
Yeah, I must admit, I was really, really impressed with that. And, you know, that actually worked for me, online classes, to be honest with you, because I could, if I didn't, sometimes when
you... Is it as a result of you not attending a lot of classes?
Probably. No, but I just like the fact that sometimes when you're in a lecture, like lecturers can move really fast, and then if you miss a concept, you're like lost for the rest of the time.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
That's literally every single class I go to.
Yeah.
I'm like, but wait, go back to slide 3.
Literally.
This is where I lost you, bro.
So for me, what I really liked is that I could just pause the,
slideshow or whatever.
Yeah, I could pause the slideshow. I could go back, literally just take like 5 seconds to be like, okay, what did he say here? Or like, what did they say here?
Or like 5 minutes for me.
And then I could move on. And I just found that for me was fantastic. Like, I really, really enjoyed that. Also, I could do things in my own time, my own pace, when I wanted to
do
them.
That's very true. So you really plan your day nicely.
It really worked very, very, like, practically, it worked so well for me. And I really would recommend it. The only thing I think that, obviously, I lacked was social interaction. And I think that's a very big part of our day. But all the time that I saved from, you know, I mean, I...
Travel time at the end of the day, hey?
I probably
didn't realize
that. Yeah, I probably spend about, like, maybe 2 hours on the road a day because, you know, you'll drive...
Honestly, eh?
We'll, like, drive to get our mates or meet with our mates. Then we go to the hospital. Then from
well,
the hospital...
Well, your colleagues, yeah.
My colleagues. from the hospital to class, from class home. So it was, it was very effective.
Quick side note on that. it's not in the brochures, eh? It's not in the brochures that you're going to have to travel to California.
Yeah, they don't tell you these things.
They don't put it on the front page of medicine. Hey, look, you're going to be a doctor, but also
you have an hour trip to Tembisa every morning. Good luck.
How much?
Who's paying for your petrol?
Literally, and speaking about that, like being on the road, I don't know about you, but if I'm the driver there, I feel exhausted once I get to the hospital.
Yes.
It's kind of like it's affecting, in a way, it affects your mental health. I mean, with taxis on the road.
100%. And it's not like we drive in the greatest areas either, to be honest with you. So I always feel like very liable when I'm driving. And I just take that much extra caution, especially if I'm driving with passengers.
And you're responsible for everyone in your car.
Exactly. So I think for me, I completely agree with you. And especially when you have like an hour drive to Tembisa, you know, and it's, once again, not a great area. So, yeah, I mean, I must admit, like, I was a lot more productive. And I think I'm relieved going into next year knowing that I used a lot of my time quite wisely.
And productively.
Yeah. And I really think that the university, honestly, they should really consider going online, because I just think it was that much more effective, because then you're not losing your students. So if there's anything they don't understand, they can immediately go back and sort it out.
100%. Or even like still have you, when this pandemic hopefully reaches somewhere where we can all be immune and have the vaccine, we can go back to contact classes. But I don't think they should stop uploading every single lecture
with narration. Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you're going through it on your own time. If you get lost in class, you're done for.
Yeah.
And also considering it's a class of almost 300 students. To stay in one auditorium, you cannot stay focused, or I cannot. I'm speaking for myself here.
No, I can't either. I really have so much respect for like the students that religiously attend class, but honestly, my concentration span isn't great. Like when I get tired, which happens very frequently, then I'm lost. Then I'm out of it. Then I'm done.
After rotation, to go to class, after spending a morning in hospital.
Yeah.
Like, even if you didn't do much, you got to be up early. You've got that awkward gap between when class starts and when rotation ends.
Yeah. So it does. It actually, you have to use your energy very wisely. And I found, especially in fourth year when we were doing that, I had to be so cynical about where I spend my energy. I had to really like contemplate very heavily and make
is this worth it, you know?
Yes, like, okay, so what am I going to do with like these 5 minutes that I have right now? And I had to really mentally like prepare myself for everything that I was going into, because just one change of plan can hit you, you know, can sweep you completely off. So I had to be very self-disciplined with regards to that. So, yeah, I have a lot of respect for people that are able to do it that way, but I just found it, like, very difficult for myself.
I can't do it, definitely. Yeah. I have to be on, like, a 54 milligram Concerta or something to sit through that class.
Yeah.
But then I wouldn't sleep.
So, these are the, you know,
the ups and downs.
The pros and cons you got to
weigh. I feel like they should put that in the brochure as well, hey? I feel like we need to design the real medicine brochure.
This is how it really goes.
Yeah, but then, and then probably we'd only get half the doctors we do, and our country is in dire need of more. So
probably.
I guess maybe let's keep up the medicine is fabulous, glamorous.
Great, guys, really. The money, I hope, is worth it in the end.
Debbie, did you pick up any hobbies during a lockdown?
I did. Mm-hmm. I really went like balls to the wall when it came to this. I started learning French. I got a tutor.
Omelette du fromage.
I'm not that good at it, but
it means cheese omelette. This is laboratory.
Great. <No. laughs> Now everyone knows. So that was really fun to use a different part of my brain completely.
The linguistic side. Eh? Yeah. Actually, something we read a lot, but we don't use a lot of language.
We really don't. And I must admit,
I missed that as well.
I've also seen, like, just my writing, my spelling has gone down. It's almost embarrassing also because of the fact that, you know, we're texting and you have predictive text. So, yeah.
You get lazy, hey?
You get so lazy.
Brain gets so lazy. Lazy.
Yeah, no, that's another conversation for another day. No, so that was really cool. Mm-hmm. And then my family really, we just, like, all immersed ourselves in the arts. So we really, it's something that we picked up a while ago, but like this year we really had the time to like manifest it. So that was also just a great way to relax.
What type of art?
So I work a lot with like oils, like I do quite a few oil paintings, and I'm really into pastels, like using oil pastels as well at the moment. So it was just like, just trying to use a whole different bunch of mediums and throwing them together. So yeah, that was very inspiring, and I've also learned a lot of about myself through that. It's just nice to, as I said, have the time to expand who I am.
Definitely.
Because
creative is something, unfortunately, that we don't get to do often.
And I didn't want to. I don't know, I just don't want to be like this one-faceted human being that's like, I'm just a medical student. So yeah, and then I also read a lot. I can't even remember last time I read as many books as I have, so that was also
great.
Actually,
me too.
Yeah.
And a good year for reading.
Yeah, so those are the kind of things that I did to keep myself occupied. At one stage, I was like really into fitness. I was very devoted to that. Got very lazy.
I saw a meme of like, lockdown has been so long that I got out of shape, into shape, and back out of shape.
That is basically me.
I think everyone went through the fitness phase. You had to. You had to at some stage.
Otherwise, I mean, because at the end of the day, I like to feel tired at the end of the day, like I've accomplished things.
I know exactly what you mean. You know? So when you get into bed, you're not lying there.
And
like,
oh, what did I do?
I've spent the whole day in front of the TV.
You know, so it was really, and I mean, because we were just at home and I was working from home, I was like, I need to do something that's going to make me like physically tired. So I would like push myself and then I would sleep like a saint. So it was great. But yeah, I should probably get back into that. And I'm trying to think. There was a lot of things. I got into gardening a bit. It was never really a thing, but it's actually so much fun.
Therapeutic as well. Yeah, pulling out weeds and keeping it clean. Tending your own garden at the end of the day is a very... The other morning I made breakfast and the cherry tomatoes I actually picked from the plant that was
and
growing.
And how good does that feel?
Living off the land,
literally.
How much, but it's honest work.
Hard, honest work. Yeah, I was amazed. I was able to keep a plant alive, so that was really cool.
Green finger Debbie.
Yeah. If you need advice, guys, please just come to me. And also, of course, got into the cooking thing, you know, bake the banana braids.
How many loaves?
Too many. Typical cliche. So, yeah, it was a good way to keep myself occupied. And yourself, any hobbies?
Pretty much exactly what you've said, except creatively I didn't do that much. But I think, I don't know, my creativity is in some
other thing. We're not all born with it.
Yeah, we're not all born with it, definitely not.
Can't all be great as me. No, I'm kidding.
But, didn't do any drawing or anything, but also I just read a lot. I watched a lot of
series.
Watched a lot of YouTube.
Found the weirdest series, man. Like any genre. I've got you covered.
So, but yeah, I think you've answered it pretty well. I also got into cooking. I baked a delicious bread one. I'd left the banana out there.
Okay. Not for everyone.
I started off the dinner and I ended up baking through the night and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Because it had to proof and everything. I was so excited about my bread. I was watching this
thing.
You're
like, I gotta do this.
Yeah.
I back it.
Can really recommend baking a bread to anyone going through a tough time. Like eating it afterwards as well with butter. It's like.
Joey's got your back, guys.
Mental health plus 10.
There we go. So how do you feel about not having gained any practical experience this year?
Obviously devastated.
I'm so nervous.
I feel like I'm going to be terrible in the hospital next year. I'm going to be a liability. But you know
what?
Sorry
for the patients that get to see me.
I think we have so much time still. A whole year, we shouldn't underestimate how long a year is of practical experience. Plus being an intern. I mean, everyone always speaks about you have to be a doctor once you finish your sixth year. My brother is currently, he's just finished his community service year. And I remember him telling me when he finished his internship, you're not going to know a lot once you finish your degree. But that practical experience you gain with the knowledge and foundation you've laid in your studies, it all comes back together. Yeah. But don't put too much pressure on yourself to be perfect with putting in a drip, drawing this blood, you know, doing arterial, because he said these things will come in time and with experience. And we will not have a shortage of that at the end of the day.
I was just about to say, I think we're really going to be pushed very, very hard next year. I think... Mm. To be honest with you, out of all of the years that have gone before us, I honestly think we're going to have the toughest next year. To have literally a year and a half's worth of work shoved into 1 year is very...
45 weeks out of 52, which is, if you think about it, we have December off.
which is already
move,
4 weeks.
To find a house, so that's, we get placed.
So that's 3 weeks off through our whole term. We're used to long holidays with promotion and everything. I don't know how the other
did it, but we got off in like October. Yeah.
Tux is all about living your best holiday life from October. Yeah. They make you start early in January,
but it's fine. It, you know.
And so this is a whole new, like, right, Debbie, we have not even finished this year. We're finishing on Friday. And I mean, starting on 4th of January. And I mean, we've got a month off to prepare for possibly the toughest year of our lives up to this far.
Yeah, and I was actually saying, I mean, my mom keeps on kind of checking in on me to like make sure that I'm doing okay, because I think she knows that internally I'm freaking out about next year. And she always just says, like, you know, just it's just going to be one day at a time, and somehow you're going to make it, like, whether it's by someone having to like you by, you know, the scruff of your shoulder through, like, you're going to get through.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to cross the finish line next year, but it's gonna how are we going to get there? Am I going to be crawling? Am I going to be jogging? Like, am I going to be sprinting? I've got a feeling I'm going to be limping somehow.
Be on the floor.
Yeah, with someone dragging me. But
yeah, but we'll make it.
We will. And moms, at the end of the day, really give the best advice, because I was speaking to my mom about it yesterday. I was just telling her, like, Mom, I'm already so stressed. I've already got anxiety about next year. She told me exactly the same thing. Yeah. Joey, take it one day at a time. You can only do as much as you can do in one day.
Yeah, and just make the most of it. And I think one thing that I'm very relieved about is that we seem to be very blessed with a very good rotation group. Joey and I are in the same rotation group. So that's kind of a relief to me, because I think we've learned how to work with one another. We know each other, and we definitely always help one another out. So I'm feeling like really...
It's a very supportive group. It doesn't feel like I'm doing medicine. It feels like me and my friends are doing medicine together.
We're all getting this degree together. It was a group effort.
Blackboard collaborator.
Yeah, basically. No, so I think that's something that it's definitely something to also look forward to. I mean, Joey, just think about it. In 1 year, you're going to change from Mr. to Doctor. How incredible is that? I mean, whether you're prepared for it or not, like, that's the truth, you know? And it is going to be tough. And it's basically like we have a full-time job and full-time studying.
Without a salary.
Without a salary. So these are the sacrifices we make.
But at the end of the day, I was actually speaking to Temba about this and Sahil, good friends of mine, and we discussed, once you're done with a certain rotation, you can put a big tick next to that thing, because you're never studying it again, technically. So we start with surgery, Debbie and I. I mean, 5 weeks, boom, surgery, done. Don't have to worry about that anymore.
And if we don't know what we're doing when we get to surgery and internship, we can Google. It's fine.
At the end of the day, most I'll ever do is assisting.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
If you can cut a stitch and hold open a, what do you call
an abdomen, you could.
Literally.
Just work out those arms, girl. That's all you need to know.
And I also think that next year will go really quickly, like in
a
blur.
Speed by. I mean, if you think about how fast this year has gone, I think there'll definitely be moments where it feels really slow, but there'll be a lot of moments where it feels really...
The only month this year that was like... that dragged along was March, when all this started. Yes. It just felt like March went forever. And then I blinked, and it's December. It's 1st of December today.
That's insane. Yeah. Okay, so what advice would you give to yourself at the start of the year, knowing what you know now?
Don't panic. Everything's going to be fine. Take it one day at a time. Study hard for everything they do give you, because I think all the studying we did really this year is going to pay off next year.
Yeah.
And just where you can, really cherish and live in the moment. The time you spend with your family in lockdown, enjoy every moment. The time you stayed in the commune with not a lot of work to study with your boys, remember these moments, because there'll never be another year like this where we get all this off time until we retire. So I think I would just tell myself, enjoy every moment and make the most of it.
Yeah.
And also watch out for people that show the classical signs of COVID. And don't be in a certain
fever, tell them to get a test.
But I was super paranoid at the start of... actually, Debbie, how would you say your opinion actually has changed from COVID?
I think I'm a lot more chilled now. I think when it first came out, I was like, oh, damn, like, the world is ending. It's over. Because I also live with... people that are more inclined to have...
susceptible to severe infection.
Yeah.
So I think I wasn't worried for myself. I was more worried for them. And I think that's what made me extra cautious, and also having like that pressure from them as well. So the times that I felt that I was almost positive, I felt so guilty because I was like, oh, I can't believe I'm doing this to the people that I love. But now I think I'm a lot more calm about it, and I think I've kind of just accepted like whatever happens, happens, and there's nothing I can't control it, but I also can't not live my life anymore.
Exactly. You can only control how you react to the situation.
100%. And I mean, I can just keep myself as healthy as possible, and I can, you know, like.
And be disciplined, you know, sanitize where you can, and make sure the social distancing implemented where possible.
Yeah. So I think,
But not at the expense, you know, of...
Not at the expense of someone I love, but...
living your life.
Yeah, or not living my life. But I think, yeah, it's... I also wouldn't know how I feel about it until I get it, I think, you know, so...
Of course, and everyone has an individual response to the infection and how they feel, who they infect, and that'll all shape how you look back at it.
And how would you look back at it, seeing as though you've had it?
That's interesting. I think... I was much more scared of it till I got it. I feel like my whole year was just building up to when I got COVID. Because, you're just like,
what if I get it initially? Especially when there was all that fear and panic. And
there's so much anxiety about it. And especially when you think you're positive and then you get a negative test. And it's almost like, as you said, you're relieved when you get a positive test because you're like, finally, it's happening.
It's happening.
Like, it's happening and I can deal with this now. But it's like that whole weight of anticipation. It's such wasted energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... Exactly. That's when I was just like, okay, I'm done. Like,
you spoke
I'm done.
About the allotment of energy earlier, and I agree with you completely. And stressing about a result that you can't influence is not energy wisely spent.
Yeah, so I think I'm just... I think that was also a good lesson that I learned from this, is that if I can't control it, then I can't do anything about it, and that's okay. And I know that whatever comes my way, I have the faith in myself that I can manage it. I know that I'm strong enough to...
I back that.
Yeah.
With mountains ahead of us, it just starts. Oh wait, the journey of 1,000 steps starts with one. So.
Oh, that was wow! That was beautiful. I'll steal that. Put that on my Instagram caption. Thanks. People think I'm prophetic.
I can't remember the author of that quote. But no, yeah, we've got a mountain in front of us still, and we've climbed a mountain this year.
Yeah.
Or so even if it was just a series of hills.
We've got a very big mountain ahead of us, but I think we are up for the challenge.
I back what you said, Debbie, with strength inside, you know.
Yeah, we'll be fine. Strength inside, past papers and mates. We'll be good.
I'm going to be a hero then.
Yeah, you know. After the rotation days, we'll be good. All right, but I think that wraps us up for the year.
Debbie, it's been an insightful chat, and I've enjoyed doing this bit of introspection and reflection back on the year.
Definitely. And I hope you listeners can also just sit back and look back on your year, you know, kind of take in what has happened, what you've lived through, and be proud of yourself for making it to the point that you have. I think, especially in the medical setting, I know especially the guys at Tux, like, if you got through your degree or if you got through the year and you are going to another year, well done. If you're not, it's really okay. It was really tough. So don't even stress
There's
about it.
There's another year to get through it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that brings us to an end, and it's also been such a wonderful and such a privilege doing this podcast over this year during this crazy time and seeing it, how it had to like evolve and shapeshift.
That was also another podcast on itself.
Yeah, a whole new ball game. But having said that, guys, we just want to wish you a really great festive season. Well done on making it through, and we'll check you next year.
Go climb that mountain, guys. This is MedTalk signing out.
Bye.